Let me begin by saying that I am pleased to see you here. Let me also say that as we are here is evidence of the fact that we are searching for the Lord's way. Man, whether he realizes it or not, goes through life searching for something. We're all seeking something out of this life. And there are indeed many things in this life for which we may search. Some look at various avenues of life, opportunities, that sort of thing. Some get bogged down searching for the meaning of life. Others take time to separate themselves from society, if you will, and try to find themselves. Some search for the purpose of life, for the focus of life, which in effect are the same things. But there are so many choices presented, and many do not know which way to turn or for what they must seek. I would like to suggest this morning that the answers to all of the problems of this life are found in the same place. All of the solutions for that which is to occur after this life is found in the same place. They are found by searching for the Lord's way. Living as God would have us live and being the people God would have us be can only come from following his ways. The Christian must always be in search of the Lord's way. In fact, we became Christians because we searched for the Lord's way. Our text this morning is Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9. And we see here, as the prophet was instructed by the Spirit to write these words, we see some thoughts from God. He says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." What we have here is a comparison of the thoughts, the ideas, the ways of God in relation to the ways, the thoughts, the ideas of man. A number of things are being pointed out here, the first of which is that God's ways are not our ways. There's truth contained here. That truth simply is that we do not always live in accordance to God's way. There are many people throughout this world today that are not gathered in an assembly to worship God. There are many people who do not consider God, nor his commandments, nor the things that he has said for us to do. There are many people in the world today that do not give tomorrow a second thought. They are kind of like those who are depicted in the Bible that have the attitude, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Not realizing, not understanding that when we die, we will spend eternity somewhere. Again, in Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9, he says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways." We need to understand that as he is giving us this information, he is pointing us so that we might look higher than our own thoughts, than our own desires, than our own ideas, because there is something that he has provided for us. We need to understand as we contemplate these passages, as we contemplate the idea of searching for the Lord's way, that according to Isaiah chapter 40 and verses 13 and 14, that we are not counseled, or we do not counsel God. Today, we have people who have made fortunes counseling other people. I don't say that all counselors are wealthy or well off, but there are those who have made it a life's work to tell others how to live, to tell others how to be, or to tell others how to interpret their own thoughts. There's a whole branch of science that involves this. And there are those who might would think that they could counsel God, They go through life wanting to do things their own way. And when confronted with the truth, say, well, I don't like the truth. I don't like what the truth says that I must do, and so I'm going to do it my own way, and thereby I try to counsel God. We see here in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 13 beginning, who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor, hath taught him? With whom took he counsel? And who instructed him and taught him in the path of judgment and taught him knowledge and showed him to him the way of understanding? Friends, none of us were there at the creation. We didn't tell God how we wanted the earth shaped, how that the workings ought to fall into place, how that it would fit us better while we're here. We can't counsel God. We need to understand and realize the reason that we cannot counsel God, and we find this in Romans chapter 11, verses 33 and 34, that God is smarter than we are. As we look out upon God's creation, all the wonders of His creation, we should readily realize that. But there are those today who are gathered, and they are gathered for the express purpose of worshiping God. But they are saying, by worshiping God their own way, that they are smarter than God. In Romans 11, 33 and 34, we see, oh, the depth and the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor? When it says there his ways past finding out, this is talking about the things that he has not revealed unto us. The truth of the matter is, the things which God would have us know, the things in which he would have us do, the ways in which he would have us to walk, he has revealed. And we have it in his word. He has given it to us to show us how to live to be pleasing to him. God is smarter than we are. And so as we see that God is smarter than we are, that we cannot counsel God, we must realize that God's ways are not our ways. Secondly, we also realize that our ways are not God's ways. You leave a man or a group of people to their own devices, to their own thoughts, to their own freedoms, and they will liable to go any number of directions. We've seen this as societies have sprung up, when people have moved to new areas, moved to new continents. Governments are established, and not all of them are the same. It's because the mind of the people direct what they do. But in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12, we'll see that the Lord gives us information that tells us that we must be cautious of looking at things and wanting things our own way. In this life, when we know someone who has to have their way, we call them selfish. There are those today that have Burger King religion. They want it their way. They want it the way that seems right to them, but they don't stop and contemplate passages such as Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Satan knew this in the Garden of Eden. Satan knew that it would seem right when the words were spoken to Adam and Eve, that it would seem right unto them. When he asked the question, does not this fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, does it not look good? Does it not look like it's good for food? Is it not something desired to make one wise? And they said, we know that seems right to me. But what they didn't consider at that very moment, even though Eve had recounted it and said to Satan, no, the Lord said we shouldn't eat of this tree. If we do, we will surely die. Satan says, no, you won't die. You'll become wise. You'll be as gods. It seemed right. It looked good. I have no doubt that it tasted good. But immediately what happened? Their eyes were opened. They were made aware of some things that prior to this they were not aware. But the end thereof are the ways of death. Exactly what God said would happen, happened. They began that day to be separated from God. Spiritual death. In Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 3, we see another passage which shows that our ways are not God's ways. That man left to his own devices will do so to his own destruction. It says, the foolishness of man perverteth his way, and his heart fretteth against the Lord. What is it saying? It's simply saying that man's ways turn him against God. Now, man has always been a being who wanted to worship, desired to worship. The truth of the matter is, you take a group of people and you put them somewhere, and they don't know what to worship, they will devise something to worship. They'll find a rock that looks a certain way, or they'll fashion something, or they'll carve up a tree. And they cannot receive instructions from this rock, or from this image that they have made, or this tree that they have carved and shaped. And therefore they make up their own laws. And this is the foolishness of man, and it's perverting his way. And his heart fretteth against the Lord. Our ways are not God's ways, and it turns us against him. But Jesus teaches us that our ways do matter. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, he was speaking to his disciples. He was well aware of the fact that we have choices, that life is a series of choices, a series of decisions, a series of choosing who it is that we'll serve. Are we going to serve ourselves? Or are we going to serve God? Jesus said, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it. Notice the things that are being put forth here. The broad way is followed by many, and it leads to spiritual death. But why is it the broad way? It's the broad way because it's made to look beautiful. But notice what happens. It says, wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. There are many people that follow the broad way. They follow their own way. They follow man's way. They follow denomination and denominational teaching. And it looks good. And they follow it. And they do so to their own destruction. The narrow way is followed by few, and it leads to spiritual life. Do you know why that so few follow the narrow way? It's because it's restrictive. Many times people in jobs don't want to follow the rules because they're too restrictive. That's why we have rules. That's why we have guidelines. That's why we are instructed in God's word to follow God's way so that we might have spiritual life. Oh yes, it's going to be more restrictive in this life, but it's going to lead to something that is by far greater than anything in this life. The question that we need to ask ourselves as we're contemplating that our ways are not God's ways is, which way are we choosing? Are we choosing that which is good for now? Or are we choosing that which is good for later? People may look at these things and they say, well, you know, I've got to live in this life. I've got to do what's good for me now. And I don't need all these rules. I don't need all these restrictions. Do we not stop and contemplate And these rules and these restrictions, this word of God that we've been given that we are to follow, is there for a purpose. It's that we might search for the Lord's way. We must also ask ourselves the question, why do some choose the wrong way? There's a number of different reasons that go on here. The first, which I want to point out, is the fact that there are deceitful men. In 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1, we see this. We see that there were false teachers then, that there will be false teachers now, that there will be false teachers as long as there are teachers. We need to understand this is the same thing that Satan used in the garden. Deceit. 2 Peter 2, verse 1, but there were false teachers, or false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even deny the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. We need to understand what is happening here. These people are deceiving others. Now, some do so somewhat innocently. There are those who do not know that they are deceiving people. There are those who have been blinded from childhood, perhaps, into believing something that is not true. But they're blindly following that which they are taught, and they're not searching God's word. There are several people who have had sermons, who have become preachers in the Lord's church, and the sermon is entitled, Why I Left Such and Such Denomination. It's because they studied. It's because they searched. It's because someone told them, what you're doing is not right. You have chosen the wrong way. You've been deceived. We need to be very careful. These false teachers that exist even exist today. Not only do they bring upon themselves swift destruction, but they also bring destruction upon those who follow them. Secondly, after we realize and understand that deceitful men choose or cause people to choose the wrong way, we also need to understand that they and they alone are not to be blamed. According to James chapter 1, verses 14 and 15, our own sinful desires cause us to choose the wrong way. At that, many people would say, well, I don't really have sinful desires. Let me take your pulse. If you're a human, you have improper desires, even if you don't want to call them sinful. What does he say? But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. I've often been asked by people, is it wrong to have improper thoughts? And I answer people, I hope not. But I do know for a fact that it's wrong to dwell on these, to focus on these, to allow these to get their grip upon you. Because lust, when it hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And that death comes about because we have chosen the wrong way, based upon our own sinful desires. You know, some of the things that you desire might not be sinful at all, in and of and by themselves. There's nothing wrong with a game of golf. There's nothing wrong with spending quiet time on the lake fishing. There's nothing wrong with sitting at home by the fire. But if these things are done in preference to serving God, they become sinful. Let's not let our own lust cause us to choose the wrong way. Others choose the wrong way because of ignorance. Turn to Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1. Ignorance exists. Now that doesn't mean, when we say that a person is ignorant, we're not saying that they can't read or write, they can't function properly, they can't think. It's just they're ignorant of some things that they need to be aware of. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1 says, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Those who have been involved in with children, raising children or teaching children, understand that when you take them for the next round of teaching, that you review those things which you have, that they have been taught before. Why? Because if they just completely forgot those things, they might not be able to grasp the new ideas, the new concepts, the new knowledge that they're supposed to receive. We today need to give more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, so that we do not forget them, so that we do not become ignorant of them. There are times when you're talking to people who are supposed to be members of the Lord's church, and you'll bring up a point, a very scriptural point, and give them the scripture that goes in it, and they will, with it, and they will say, "I didn't even know that was in the Bible." Other people will refer to scripture and say, "Well, it's in the Bible somewhere." You start narrowing it down. Old Testament, New Testament? Well, I'm not sure. What does that mean? It means they're ignorant. Does that mean they're stupid? Not necessarily. They're ignorant of what the Bible says because they do not study the Bible. They do not search the Lord's way. We must choose the Lord's way. If you'll turn to Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, we'll see that there are those that chose wisely. There are those who chose wisely, and their choice is recorded for us so that we might also understand that we can choose wisely. We need to choose wisely. Joshua was here. He had been given the great responsibility of taking Israel into the promised land. If you remember, Moses was allowed to see the promised land but was not allowed to enter. And Joshua was given this honor because of his faithfulness, because of his fidelity. And he gathers Israel together and he says to them, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Friends, Joshua had already made his choice. And he didn't make his choice at that assembling of the people. He had made his choice many, many years ago. He made his choice when he was a soldier. He made his choice to serve God and do the will of God. We need to choose wisely. In Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16, we see that the Israelites chose, when the prophet Jeremiah passed on to them what the Lord said. The arrogance of these people. Jeremiah said, "Thus saith the Lord." In other words, this is what the Lord is saying to you. "Stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein. And ye shall find rest for your souls." Listen, that should be encouraging. This is a message that needs to be proclaimed to the church today. "Stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths." Oh, you know, the old paths, that's ancient history. No, it's not. It's God's way. It's God's way that's been pointed out to us. Notice, he says, "The old paths, where is the good way? And walk therein." And if you choose the old paths, you choose the good way, you walk therein, ye shall find rest for your souls. But look at the last part of this. "But they said, we will not walk therein." That's antiquated. That's old. You're not going to do that. Their words indicated their intention. We have people today that pride themselves, "You know, I never speak angry or bad about the church. I never make a verbal proclamation of refusal." You don't have to. Our actions indicate what we have chosen. Will we choose properly? And that doesn't mean when we look at all of our life, each day of our life. It's an ongoing process. Our actions indicate what we have chosen. We need not say a word. The old adage is true. Actions speak louder than words. When we have made a choice, our actions will identify what our choice is. We also need to be aware of the fact that the choice is ours and ours alone. We cannot depend upon others to choose for us. In Matthew chapter 19, verses 16 through 22, we take you on the other side of the cross. We take you to when Jesus walked the earth. We take you to the time when someone asked him a question. Behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? He knew that he was faced with a choice. What thing must I do? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. Verse 18 tells us, And he said unto them, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. He didn't even quote all of the Ten Commandments. Imagine the pride within that young man. But also notice what he did. He said, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? What else is there? Have I made the right choice? Jesus said to him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, that thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. The Lord knew his heart. He knew that he placed great importance upon his wealth, upon his social standing, upon those things that he had. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. What happened here? He was given the opportunity to choose, and nobody could choose for him. What lack I yet? We need to ask ourselves that question regularly. In John chapter 14, verse 6, we see what Jesus said so that we might understand and know what the way is. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father by me. So what we need to choose today is God's way. In Psalms chapter 24, verses 4 and 5, we see the psalmist giving us information how we might receive blessing from God. He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul into vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. There's often times when people extend the invitation. They do so and they choose the song, Just As I Am. I don't like that song because nowhere in the Bible does it say we come to God just as we are. Remember the young man talking to Jesus, What lack I yet? Oh, you've done all these things? Great, wonderful. Now go sell everything you have. The psalmist says, He hath clean hands and a pure heart. Who has done these things, he shall receive blessing from the Lord. So then, how are God's ways revealed to us? Through his word. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 and 17, we see how these things are revealed. It says, All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Notice the last phrase there. Time will not permit this morning for us to break down this passage and talk about each one of these things, but truly furnished means that we've been given everything that we need, so that we can make the right choice. I love the simplicity with which Jesus spoke. In John chapter 5, verse 39, we have just one example of that. He said to those who would question him, who would question who he was, he said, Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Are you searching for the meaning of life? Let me clue you into something. It's not going to be found in education. There's nothing wrong with education. I applaud those who have education. I have a little bit myself. It's not found in vocation. You may choose a job that is important, that is needful, that is great for society, but you cannot find the meaning of life in your vocation. It is not found in family. I know those who take a great deal of pride that their members of their family have been members of the Lord's church for many, many years. That is wonderful. I would to God that my family had been members of the Lord's church. But such wasn't to be the case. And so the meaning of life is not found in family. So then where is the meaning of life found? It's found in searching the Lord's way. The meaning of life is the Lord's way. Are you willing to yield to the Lord's way? Are you willing to yield to His plan? Understand that God's way will always be the right way. This is true in absolutely every area of life. God's way is always the right way. It's never wrong to do right. This means that God's plan will always be the right plan, including the plan of salvation. And if God's plan is the right one, then we must understand that man's plan is not the right plan. To that, some might say, well, then what is God's plan? Well, relative to salvation, it's the same plan that was put forth at the day of Pentecost, AD 33, when the sound of the rushing mighty wind occurred and all these people came together to see what the noise was about, and they all heard in their own tongue the words of God. First and foremost, we must hear the word of God. Acts chapter 10 and verse 33. Cornelius said, immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast done well that thou art come. Now therefore are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. What things were to be commanded? Those things which would indicate to them or show them or direct them how to take hold on eternal life. How to do the Lord's way. They were to believe. Jesus said in John 8:24, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. We're also instructed to repent. Acts chapter 17 and verse 30, in the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. And we're also to confess. Romans 10 and verse 9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Don't be confused. Don't be deceived. There is more to do than just to hear, believe, repent, and confess. In Acts chapter 22 and verse 16, I have no doubt whatsoever that Saul truly believed. His actions showed that he was penitent. We know also that he confessed. But what was he told? And now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. A lot of church members are deceived into thinking that all they have to do is hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. But that's not the end of the plan of salvation. It also entails remaining faithful until death. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 4 through 11, we see a passage that tells us how that we can have entrance into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, listen, if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Are you searching for the Lord's way? Are you willing to do what He says do? Perhaps in the past you have done those things that we've outlined here, and you have become a child of God. You've put on Christ in baptism, and in so doing were raised from the water to walk in newness of life. But the cares of life have gotten in the way. Sin has crept upon you. You've allowed yourself, for whatever reason, to become separated from God. There is a way again to access the blood of Christ. to you that are children of God that have erred and left the faith. It's called the second law of pardon. It's found in Acts chapter 8 and verse 22. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. Are you searching? What are you searching? Search the Lord's way. Lay hold on eternal life. If you need to respond, won't you do so as together we stand and sing the invitation song.